From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Well, the Maine legislature adjourned last night, leaving scores of issues unresolved. Lawmakers are angry and blaming each other for the impasse. Mal Leary, Maine Public Radio's senior political correspondent, joins us now from the Capitol. So, Mal, what are some of the issues that have been left dangling out there, and what kind of impact are we talking about on Mainers?
Well, Jennifer, the big one, of course, is school funding. It has a huge impact across the state. Every single school district depends on state aid to some extent. Now, in the two-year budget passed last year, about $1 billion was appropriated for aid to local schools for the budget year that starts July 1st. But the money has to be allocated by a formula. That's in legislation that died when the legislature adjourned. This affects really every single school district in the state. And you can expect a lot of political pressure to start building for a special session to address this issue.
Okay, so it sounds like schools will be hoping for that special session, maybe even pushing for one. So what are some other groups that might be piling onto that special session bandwagon?
Well, I think you have some other programs that lawmakers have started to fund but didn't continue funding. For example, direct care services. The legislature passed an increase in pay for those folks last year, but they only provided funding for 1 year. Those folks could see their paychecks actually go down July 1st because the legislature did not act on that bill. And as you might expect, those workers who are already not very well paid for the most part are going to be really upset when their paychecks go down in July. Jennifer, I would not want to be answering the phone at lawmakers' homes if that happens.
Well, those are two areas that sound like there should be some sort of compromise that might be able to be worked out.
You would think that, but there are many areas where there appears to be agreement, but no action was taken in the legislature. For example, bonds. I can't think of one lawmaker that opposes investing in the state's infrastructure, but all of those bills died when the legislature adjourned. That includes a $100 million bond for highway and bridge repairs that state officials say is crucial, with the state falling behind in needed repairs every year. And I think many of us have seen that increase in potholes out there.
So if there's broad agreement on issues like schools and bonding, I guess a lot of people out there are probably wondering why they didn't just pass the bills when there was agreement before they went home.
If it were only that simple, Jennifer. The answer really is, of course, politics. Republicans do not like the voter-approved increase in the minimum wage. They argue it's too fast and needs to be slowed down. They want that as part of any deal. But that's a non-starter for Democrats, who have long supported minimum wage increases. Democrats are demanding the startup funds for Medicaid expansion be included in any deal that's worked out. That's a non-starter for Republicans, and a certain veto from Governor LePage. The reality is both sides have to give in order to reach a compromise. And right now, that's not happening.
So what happens now, then? Are we going to actually see parties, sitting down and reaching a compromise in the weeks ahead?
That is a very difficult question to answer. I am sure a lot of people are asking why they just don't get the job done. Well, politics is not just about issues and priorities. It's also about personalities. And we have some fundamental trust issues between House leaders, and they're going to take a while to resolve. I think they can work out a compromise eventually, but those personality conflicts need to be set aside first.
So what does happen next? Like, what happens now?
Well, at the moment, nothing's going to happen until the legislature decides that they're either going to call themselves back in a special session, Or Governor LePage calls them into special session, saying, for example, school funding is just too important not to have in place by July 1st. So we're going to see a lot of posturing by the political parties in the weeks going forward. But there is hope among some members of the legislature that despite all of the smoke and fire, there might actually be something resolved in the weeks ahead, and that the parties will sit down and put together a compromise that can get the votes in both the House and Senate.
Well, Mal Leary is Maine Public Radio's senior political correspondent. Thanks, Mal.
Thank you.
Maine news, Waterville residents will get to decide if they want to recall Republican Mayor Nick Isgrow. Isgrow has come under fire for a tweet insulting one of the Parkland school shooting survivors. He also has a record of making controversial comments and advancing conspiracy theories on social media. Deputy City Clerk Sarah Cross says supporters of the recall effort have turned in enough valid petition signatures to force a special election. Cross says the city council will pick the date.
We are hoping they will put it with the June 12th primary election, but it is up to the council to decide. They have to have a special election within 45 days.
Cross says the council will meet next week to establish the date. Isgrow did not immediately respond to a request for comment. As parts of Maine woke up to a second day of air quality warnings today, the Natural Resources Council of Maine planned to send a letter to President Trump asking that he remove Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt. Emmy Taberge is with NRCM.
It's one of those days where pollution is bombarding our state from other places. And like thousands of Mainers, I have asthma and I'm having a hard time breathing today. I had a hard time breathing yesterday. Scott Pruitt is doing nothing to help clean up our air. In fact, his positions are making our air more dirty and harder for Mainers to breathe. And that's just one of the many reasons why he should go.
More than 1,000 residents signed the letter, which alleges, among other things, Pruitt's apparent lack of concern over climate change, as well as his ties with the fossil fuel industry, rollbacks of clean air and water rules, and his, quote, contempt for science, end quote. Copies of the letter were also sent to Maine's congressional delegation. Drones from the York County Emergency Management Agency were among the resources used by firefighters to help contain a fast-moving outdoor blaze that consumed more than 300 acres of scrub oak and pitch pine in the Kennebunk area near Sanford and Wells. That fire started just after 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. District Ranger George Harris says the drones are equipped with infrared sensors.
So they could detect heat spots, and they were able to provide us video to strategically place firefighters to hit those areas first.
Harris says firefighters also used helicopters, bulldozers, and ATVs in their efforts to bring the fire under control. He says yesterday's warm temperatures and strong winds, along with the fact that things haven't yet greened up, contributed to the blaze. Harris says the fire scene will be monitored for the next few days to make sure everything is out. An investigation is underway to determine how that fire started. Well, a global collapse in the recycling market is having some reverberations in Maine. Bales of paper are building up at Portland-based EcoMaine, and costs are doubling as the nonprofit struggles to find a market for the paper. The organization is also asking consumers for their help. As Patty White reports, taking a liberal approach to what you think is recyclable is not what the company has in mind.
The downturn in the recyclables market is unprecedented, says EcoMaine CEO Kevin Roach. Just a year ago, EcoMaine was getting paid $100 a ton for its bales of residential mixed paper, the paper we toss in our recycling bins. Now, the company is having to pay to recycle it.
Today, right now, we're having to pay $60 a ton to get it to market.
Why such a dramatic change? Roach says there are three reasons.
Newspapers, China, and contamination.
Fewer people are buying newspapers, so the kind of paper being tossed into recycling bins is now more of a mishmash. And the place where most of this recycled paper used to be sold, China, recently placed tighter restrictions on its recycling imports. That's flooded other markets that can't absorb the influx. Unfortunately, says Roach, there's not much EcoMaine can do about these two factors, but it can address the third one, contamination. That includes anything that's not recyclable.
It's diapers, it's trash, it's yard waste, it's food waste, it's hangers, it's wrappers, candy wrappers.
These examples barely scratch the surface of the non-recyclable items that EcoMaine finds in recycling bins. The organization's environmental educator, Katrina Van Huysen, says contaminants make a mess in sorting machinery, especially products like plastic bags and bubble wrap.
When we get the things that we can crumble or squish in our hands, those are called tanglers.
Contamination not only gums up machinery, it makes recycled paper less palatable for markets that have a low tolerance level for contamination. EcoMaine has had to quadruple the number of staff working on its sorting lines and slow down production so they can remove as much as possible. EcoMaine officials say these added costs will be passed on to those who are generating the waste and recyclables. But consumers can help by learning the do's and don'ts of recycling. When in doubt about a particular item, says Van Huysen, check it out. For tips, EcoMaine has a new Recyclopedia.
It's an app, or it's just on the website, of anything that you want to search. So say you've got that straw or a shoe and you're not sure what to do with it, you can type it in.
Neither the straw nor the shoe are recyclable, by the way. The straw is trash. The shoe is potentially reusable. The chair of the board for EcoMaine, Troy Moon, says it's important to remember the two other R's in the waste management mantra, reduce and reuse.
The most environmental thing you can do is avoid creating waste in the first place. So if you don't need plastic, disposable silverware, you know, maybe try some metal options. If you maybe bring your own coffee cup when you come to when you're going out for coffee, it's amazing how quickly coffee cups add up. But just, you know, disposable ware in general, you know, avoid that where you can.
Reduce first, he says, then reuse. And finally, when it comes to that third R, Moon says, be thoughtful about what you put in the recycling bin. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org.